I'm voting because I want to make sure that everyone feels welcome in our country.
I vote because my parents can't.
I vote because I really hate decisions being made without my input.
I vote because I want a say in my future.
I vote because I want my voice heard.
I'm voting because the future of this city matters to me.
I'm voting because everyone always talks about how bad things are. I want to make them better.
I vote for the future. So, why do you vote? Tuesday, November 6th is midterm election day, and your vote is your voice. To find your polling place in Chicago, visit chicagoelections.com. This message was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, October 19th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing, tutoring, and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. The Equable. I'm your host, Gia Z, joined by my lovely and talented co-hosts, Emily G. How are you doing?
I'm great, Gia. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Awesome.
And Kristen. How is Kristen?
Kristen's good. Hey, Gia.
Hi, it's nice to see you. We have some guests in the booth today. We have Will R. We do a first name and Lash and Will.
But his last name also starts with an S.
Will S. Someone wrote it wrong on the board.
On the
Sorry.
Board. Sorry, Will.
We got
They're
Will,
close enough.
Will
They're
S.
Next to each other.
How are you doing, Will S, on this fall morning?
I am doing good. It's colder than I would like, but it's fall. And we're finally getting consistent weather, so can't really complain. I know how to plan.
Yeah, yes. I love that. You know how to plan. That's valuable. And we also have Andrew Y. How are you doing? Friend of the show. He's been here before.
Yeah, not bad. Like Will said, it's a nice balmy 51 today.
So
it's perfect.
Good word, balmy. So today we're going to talk about a yearly event. We talk about this every year. It's the Peer Tutor Mentor Summit.
Yay! Woo!
Which is today?
No, it's
next Friday.
I'm so sorry. I actually have this confusion, which this is a testament to why we need this show. It's like, when is the Mentor Summit? We don't know.
We all thought it was today. Let's talk about it. I got stressed.
Yeah. I guess first we want to talk about kind of to introduce our guests like to our fans to kind of talk about their involvement in the Peer Mentor Summit. So we'd like each of you to say your name, like what you do, like
your role
at DePaul,
here at DePaul.
Your role at DePaul, your role in the Peer Summit, and then also your favorite lunch.
Ooh. Yeah, ideal lunch.
I do like food.
Ooh, food's always a good option.
So whoever wants to go first, we got name.
Do you want to go first? Should I go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
All right,
Will?
I'll go first.
Will's going first.
So I'm Will S. Will Schroeder.
Nice, not Will R.
Nope, not R.
I think that sounds nice though.
Yeah,
I'll say it.
Who knows? I am a senior doing computer science, and I am the lab manager of the quantitative reasoning department.
Ooh.
So, you know, I kind of work my way through the LSP 120, and if you don't know what that is, it's like the technical quantitative reasoning.
I took it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most people have to.
Most people take it.
If you have a calculus class as part of your major requirements, you can get out of it.
No, I didn't. I'm a communications major.
Yeah. No calculus.
I had a weird situation where I like switched out of a major that required it. So I took 120, but not 121.
Ooh.
See, I took 121, and then my advisor said, you didn't have to do that. And I went, what? I did so much math.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. What are you doing at this year's summit?
So this year, our department usually does a video in addition to the round robins. Cool. So the round robins are like little activities where everyone kind of, each department gets their own activity together, and we all rotate around.
Cool.
Just experiencing it as a group. Mm. And so we're doing a little kind of Mad Libs style. You fill in like this plane safety sheet. You know, the classic
like the
little things in the
card.
Seat backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you fill one of those in for like your tutoring tips. And then, of course, we're just going to show our goofy little video. So that's our plan.
Very cool.
Did you help with the video?
We're actually filming it this evening. I wrote the script. We have a lot of seniors this year in our tutoring program, so they're really busy. So I was like, hey, I'll take all this work on. Why not? Which is fine, because I was a digital cinema major for a year, so whatever.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
And what is your favorite lunch?
You know, that's a tough... Mac and cheese is good.
That is such a good
lunch.
But,
like, shaped mac and cheese. Not just regular.
I understand, because my roommate is the same way. He only eats the shapes, but I feel like the shapes don't cook consistently.
No, the shapes taste better.
What shapes?
All right.
Star Wars.
Respect.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Okay, respect. That's cool. All right. Andrew, would you like to give us your little introduction?
Sure. So my name's Andrew Yim. I'm currently a second-year peer writing tutor at the Aqua Bowl, and I'm also teaching Word 103 in the Word department. So if you guys like writing, take a class with me sometime in the future.
Yes.
That's dope. Yeah. We all love Word 103. We talked about it last week in our rhetoric episode.
Yes.
If you missed it, you can find that on our blog.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing at the Peer Tutor Mentor Summit?
So I won't actually be able to attend this year's summit, but I actually went to last year's summit. So I'm here to kind of talk about my experiences from last year's.
Oh, super cool. Yeah. We'll definitely touch on that in a little bit. But what is your favorite lunch?
You know what? To go off the mac and cheese idea, there's actually a really good restaurant in Wicker Park. It's called a Smoke Daddy's, and they do $6 burgers on Wednesdays.
Ooh.
And we can get a free side, and one of the free sides is mac and cheese. So
yes.
We're gonna add to that a mac and cheese plus a $6 burger.
That's a full lunch.
That sounds
I love
so
that. $6.
Yeah. Amazing.
My boyfriend lives in Wicker Park, so maybe I'll hit it up after this.
Over there. Amazing.
We love that. Okay, so like, let's just talk about for a second, like, what is the Peer Tutor Mentor Summit? Because it's a little niche. I'll say it. I'll be the first one. You know, let's talk about what's the haps with this year's event. Like, can you, Will or Andrew, can you give like a brief what is it? And if does this year have a theme? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so we do have a theme this year. It is piloting your peer journey. So it is kind of
plane themed.
Around, yeah, planes, airports, travels, world travels.
Okay.
Cute.
So that's
like
that's the whole plane info sheet.
That's
yeah.
The reasoning behind that.
Oh, we
I was
love
wondering.
That.
I was like, how did they come up with that?
Yeah, it's relevant.
But
I was
that,
waiting.
That's cool.
Well, that's
nice.
Good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So, can anyone give us like a brief just intro on like what is the Peer Tutor Summit? Like, what do we do? Why is it there?
Yeah. So, the Peer Tutoring Mentor Summit that I went to last year, it's kind of a way for like, I think all the different departments to kind of come together and kind of share, you know, tutoring and teaching strategies. And I remember we had different tables throughout the day. I went to one where I think they were from a supplemental instruction. They gave us like a worksheet on like different strategies to use in the classroom, like think, pair, share, and like writing notes down on a piece of paper. There was one activity, I'm trying to remember like the exact details, but like it was based off a Japanese TV show they watched.
Oh, wow.
And like, I think it was like something to do with colors and drawing. So there's a lot of opportunities to like, learn different teaching and tutoring
strategies.
That's
really, really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
A couple summers ago, I was a tutor for the math department, and we learned like cool strategies as far as like making math easier to learn, you know, like tutoring techniques. And they're so different from the Aqua Bowl, but some of them have like overlapping concepts. Like one of the techniques we learn at the Writing Center is like reverse outline, kind of like do your outline in reverse. Mm-hmm. And like in the math, the math techniques I was taught for like teaching kind of like resemble that in the way where you like maybe you like start with the answer and look at the way that the problem started and like have them like people come and fill in like step by step, you know, try and like work off mm-hmm. one another to get the answer. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's similarities, but it's interesting how like the two are kind of take on different perspectives to learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think this kind of event is really cool, because I was looking through earlier some of the partners that have been working on the Peer Tutor Mentor Summit, which we'll talk about later, but there's just so many different like areas of expertise, which leads to all kinds of different like tutoring styles. Because if we think about how many tutoring styles we have at the Writing Center or at the Quantitative Reasoning Center alone, so I think it's cool that we have like an event where everyone can kind of get together and share all those methods.
And this appeals to one of our Uggable core values.
There we go. There it is.
There it is. I did it. This appeals to our core value of collaboration.
Amazing.
What? Woo. We're all collaborating, and it's through different genres. Because we all do different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we find similarities within the things to collaborate with. I think that's great. Learning from other tutors, whether or not they're in your field. Yeah. That's so great. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about round robins for a second, because we love round robins at the Uggable. Yes. They're very prevalent in our all of our like training slash like staff improvement things. Everyone's like, let's do a round robin.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about round robins. Why are round robins effective, do you think? Like, why do they work?
Yeah, so I think the reason I like them, because I went to the summit last year as well, and it was a really good experience, and I really liked, you know, kind of getting a really quick kind of idea of what's going on, something to apply this idea to, and then, you know, talk about it and move on. And so then you get, you jump around, you get all this like kind of diverse knowledge, and you kind of start forming, I don't know, some kind of theme or some kind of takeaway after visiting all these different, you know, real quick and dirty just activities.
Yeah. Right. Are there any like rules to round robin that you like have to follow? And it's like what, let's just talk about what is the round robin? You know, sit at a table with a group, you do a little activity, and someone runs it. As far as I know, in my round robin experience.
Yeah. Something I'm actually confused about that I have a question I guess you two could answer, is that, so we've done round robins, I guess, at Uggable Things, and the time limit always seems to be pretty short. Is it always like that? Is it always like a pretty short time limit at each station?
Do you feel this affects also like what you learn? Are there times where you're like...
Oh, yeah. Do you think that's like a positive thing or a negative thing?
Yeah, I think it... Time is definitely a factor. I mean, round robins at last year's session, I remember, like, there were some tables, I think we had enough time to get through like, the activity, we were able to talk as a group, and we had some time left over to kind of finish up the activity. And there were some tables where, unfortunately, time was lacking. So, like, we went through the activity, but some people didn't finish up the activity. So I think time can definitely be a huge factor on the round robins. And also, like, structuring, too. It's not very structured sometimes, and you're like, what's going on? Like, so I think having, I guess, maybe... clear instructions will help also.
Right. It seems kind of cool how planning for this event in itself is like a technique, you know, and takes a lot of practice as far as you're about to teach someone about teaching. So it's all meta. And you got to structure it for a round robin, make sure your timing is right and you're hitting, you know, all the things you want to cover, getting the group involved or, you know, being prepared in what you're going to say. So it is, it's kind of interesting how it's just another way of teaching someone that people use techniques to accomplish. Will, did you have something to add?
Yeah, so like you're saying, it takes a lot of planning, it takes a lot of practice.
Right.
If you're just throwing something together before you know, go and actually run one of these things, it's not gonna go super well. You're gonna run out of time. Mm-hmm. It's
not a night before activity.
No, not at all.
No.
That's why I think that organizing one of these or just being a part of one is like a good learning experience, and just like it's an experience people are interested in you having had, you know, like giving and running a presentation that was like very structured at like a conference, you know, it emulates like a conference. So I think it's pretty cool that it happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering also, as a part of the Peer Mentor Summit, Peer Tutor Mentor Summit. it's a lot. Peer Tutor Mentor, PTMS. Let's do that now. I made it a thing. Are there any ever like keynote speakers at this? Like the ultimate tutor who comes out and is like, this is how you tutor.
Yeah, so usually we have one person that kind of runs the whole thing as a keynote, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of tie everything together, and they bring the theme home and make sure everyone is kind of on the same page, and they share their insights. This year, the keynote speaker is actually Jan Kostenbader, who cool. is mm-hmm. actually teaches in our department.
Ooh, in the
QRC, yeah.
QRC one.
Quantitative Reasoning Center. Yeah. He is really cool guy. He's done all kinds of stuff in his life, and he was actually a pilot at one point, so that's kind of
oh my gosh.
The relevance to...
That's yeah. awesome. Yeah.
So,
wow.
We love that.
Yeah, he's a neat guy.
That's mm-hmm. super cool.
He does,
and
like, woodworking.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Super I cool. love when someone has, like, a secret talent like that. Yeah. Like, yes, I'm a quantitative reading professor, but I also build boats in my free yeah. time. Like, that's yeah. super cool.
That's cool.
That's yeah. such a cool thing. Mm-hmm. So, with the keynote speaker... does he just like usually like based on past year, like I don't know if there's keynote when you attended, Andrew, mm-hmm. but like what is their role other than just like next round robin, please? Like what do you think they bring to the table as kind of like a I guess are they like a tutoring or mentoring role model, etc.?
Yeah, I think it like similar to this year's peer tutoring summit. I think last mm-hmm. year's peer tutoring summit was another professor at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just kind of cool to like hear their take on their department and also to hear, you know, what they're kind of doing in their research in their field, because it gives you like a new exposure. Especially for me as a writing major, like I love math and science, but I'm not always exposed to math and science, like professors and research. So it's really cool to kind of see like what's going on the other side of, I guess, campus or life.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's super cool. I should go. I'm gonna go next week.
Yeah,
I've decided.
It also counts, I think, as an in service or a
Oh well, that's perfect, because
it's one or the other. I remember it counts for.
We can never make in services because we're on scroll, so that's perfect. Maybe we'll go. Emily, you had something to say?
Yeah, I had one last question actually about round robins. Ooh, for each of our guests, because we just keep bringing it up, and it seems like it's something that has been in all of our lives. Has there been a round robin like activity or a specific one that has stuck out to you from a like a past peer tutor mentor summit, or one you know that is going to be coming up this Friday?
Yeah.
And this exciting. Is for like for anybody, our guests, our tutors, anybody.
Andrew, do you have one?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to describe to the best of my ability, because it was last year, but it was the drawing activity based on that Japanese TV show.
Oh, cool.
I remember we had to like we got a worksheet. We got like colored pencils and crayons and markers, and we had to like draw like our like version or vision of a world.
Okay. Mm.
And then I remember like I drew rockets and I drew like a planet, and it was like some type of drawing activity. So like it only stuck with me because how creative it was. But then I'm trying to remember like what exactly like was the point of the peer robin. But I do remember I had a great time actually doing the activity,
because
we
important.
Like shared each other's drawings, and people like had different ways they interpreted the activity.
Mm-hmm. I think we at the Writing Center participate in kind of like large scale round robins pretty frequently. We just mentioned this, but we have to do kind of this like professional development program called In Services. We have to do one every quarter, and when we do these there are a lot of like round robin like activities, but they're not necessarily like, okay, go to the next table. That's the only thing. But I think in these kind of like group settings where you're just like, let's do an activity and then talk about how it's gonna like, it's like this like sneaky little surprise, I feel like, because it's always like, let's play a game of cards, and you're like, oh, I love cards, and then you play, and then they're like, guess what, it's related to tutoring, and you're like, no. And they sneak it on you, and then you're like, you have to talk about it. And it's just like making those connections in day-to-day, I think, really helps put it in perspective. Kristen, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was gonna mention an impactful round robin
amazing
that I was a part of. It actually took place at the winter peer tutor conference, you know, that we do for the Writing Center. Yeah, so Jen led a round robin. Shout out Jen Finstrom, our amazing outreach coordinator,
friend
of the show.
Yeah.
She did a round robin that was really cool for me. It was about copy editing, and it put me on to copy editing as a practice, something I really enjoyed doing. And I think that around Robin was really effective. It wasn't necessarily super creative. It was somewhat straightforward because of the time constraint, I think, like, you know, hindered her ability to diverge from the content, since there is, like, kind of a lot of practices that go along with copy editing. But anyways, I enjoyed it, and now I enjoy copy editing.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Will, do you have a round robin that you particularly enjoyed?
Yeah, actually, the one Andrew was mentioning is the one that I always think about.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
You draw your planet, your ideal world. You draw, and again, I can't really remember. You know,
it was
the
just
activity
fun.
Stuck
That's
with
okay.
me.
It was a tough one to remember. But
yeah, it was. Well, it was one of those. I remember being sort of like the. Like subliminal,
yeah.
Like,
what's
your headspace like?
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, you drew a world, and then you drew like a flower on that world or something,
mm-hmm.
and then you had like draw your ideal spaceship and
Ooh.
You're populate it with stars. And it was
oh,
really
very nice.
It was fun. It was artsy. Nice. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Ooh,
yeah,
what direction?
Yeah.
Maybe it was on directions. Okay, so I think we're gonna take a first song break.
Cool.
This week we just chose some like. Sweet slow jams that we love. So to kick off, here is Bobby Caldwell's What You Won't Do for Love, which also happens to be my parents' song. So shout out Steve and Anita. You're really great. I love you. And here we go.
Guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze. From your love, you see, I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. What I would not do. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let. For love, you've tried everything, but you won't give up. In my world, only you made me do for love what I would not do. Made me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. Welcome back, everyone. How are you doing? How was the break?
It's good. That was good.
It was great. I love that song. Yeah.
Loved that too.
Great song.
What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell.
Love some jazz in the morning.
Yeah. One of the most soulful white men, I think.
Oh yeah. For sure. For sure.
Like him and then like Hall and Oates, like that guy from Hall and Oates.
Yeah.
Which one? Is it Hall or Oates? One of them is really soulful. You. Anyways.
Yeah. So to start off this kind of second half of our show, we wanted to ask, what is people's favorite part of the peer tutor mentor summit that you have been to in the past?
PTMS.
So whether it was this specific one or Kristen, I know you did a lot of tutoring before the Aqua Bowl, so if you went to kind of a similar thing, what were your guys' kind of favorite parts? Does anyone want to go first, have an idea?
I can go first.
Fabulous. Kristen.
So I've never been to the summit, as previously mentioned, but definitely had to go through training and like practice for other tutoring positions. Mine was actually with SI. Shout out SI. I can't explain what SI is. That's a good point. Not everyone knows what SI is, which I forget because it's a large part of my life, and I'm very grateful to it. It's basically like tutors hold scheduled office hours and they sit and lecture. It's different from a TA, and then they're not responsible for grading, but they're responsible for listening to lectures with an ear for, you know, how can I teach this, reiterate this. They don't like assist the professor in grading, if that makes sense. So they hold like structured, scheduled like recitations, almost just like a tutoring session, and they come up with worksheets. I mean, you have to like come up with a worksheet, present it to your supervisor, fill out like a little schedule, because SI is also like a scheduled time thing, and there are certain things you have to get through. Like, you know, you have to list the learning objectives and talk about them. You have to do like a checkout question using the internet and get kids' responses to the checkout question on the internet, show that to your supervisor. So there's a lot of structured things that are quite similar to the Writing Center. That is SI. My favorite part about SI training was definitely these little flashcards that we did in the beginning to... we would like look at a technique and then try and intuitively like present what we thought the technique might be with one another, and just like talk to our, you know, supervisor about the differences from what our predictions were and what their thoughts about the technique were, and then we kind of like collaborated on what the best way to teach a idea would be. That was my favorite part.
It's cool. Very so nice. You just like, students come to you if they're like, I don't know what the heck just happened in my class, and you just be like, I know.
That's really
this
cool.
This is it.
But it's like a large scale thing. It's like a group thing normally. Mm-hmm. Like normally, it's kind of different for me. The way I taught SI was over summer. It was like part of a math class that certain students will take, and it was required. So like the entire class would just come to me after, and I'd be like, okay, basically when he was saying that and you're all confused, he was meaning this. Here's like some practice we can do, you know. So for me it was different because all the kids were required to come. It was part of the first year academic success program. There's a lot of tutoring that goes on at DePaul. Some of it's very specific. I was part of one of those specific cases, but yeah, a lot of variant techniques.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Do either of our guests have any specific really good memories from
good
past
mems.
Peer tutor mentor summits?
Good mems.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I really just like the opportunity to like kind of meet everyone.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess, network, yeah, you could say. Because there's so many, like you said, there's so many different kinds of tutors. You've got biology tutors. You have, you know, math tutors. You have writing tutors. And it's nice.
Language tutors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to go to language tutors all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. You get so many opportunities to meet people that you might not have otherwise met, mm-hmm, and kind of see what each department, how the approach that each department has for, you know, their specific issue. Because a language tutor is going to have a way different experience from a biology tutor.
Yeah. I have experience with language tutors. I was not one, but I was in the Italian program, and you have to go see language tutors for it. And it's really interesting how they function, because it's a lot of like, first they ask like, do you have questions about anything specific? But if not, you just like, it's like a conversation partner with us, mm-hmm, that we have at the Equable, which is a program we have with English as an additional language learners, EAL learners. Yes. and we just like sit down with them and we like chat, and they get to use, you know, the language in like a real, you know, context, mm-hmm. like a conversational context. And so that's what language tutors do, but it's a different language and that person's learning language. And so sometimes it's like, ah, what? And I did not know Italian very well. I know some Italian, mm-hmm. not great though, but child language like tutors, y'all really helped me learn about verbs.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice.
Andrew, do you have a favorite part?
Yeah, I think to kind of talk more about like what everyone's kind of summing up their thoughts, I think I really do enjoy this, like, you know, interaction between all the different departments, because you get to kind of see, like, you know, what Will mentioned, all these different tutoring strategies being used and how departments kind of are working with their students. And it's not to say that like every technique or strategy is going to work for every situation. I know like there's been times where I've taken things from like the peer tutoring mentor summits. Like I currently teach Word 103, and that Japanese drawing activity I mentioned, I incorporated like that element into my classroom where I wanted my students to like draw their like discourse communities.
Oh, amazing.
And I'm like, oh, that's gonna be such a great activity. They're gonna love it. It's gonna go so well. And everyone's like, Andrew, that sounds like a great activity. Your students are gonna love it. Yeah. In theory, it sounded great, but in practice, it was varied responses. Like people did the drawing, people understood discourse, but when it came to sharing their drawings, you know, they weren't, you know, it just wasn't, it was kind of lackluster for the activity. But that just, you know, helping me understand, like, okay, so maybe drawing isn't the way to go in my class. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like kind of a trial and error type of phrase, which I loved about the peer tutor mentor summits. They give you so many different strategies to work with that you'll find one that I think works for your classroom or your students.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
I'm interested in whether the athletic tutors have to know all types of tutoring like pretty well. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, yeah. I mean, I have really no experience even talking with anyone in that department, but maybe they split it up, like the tutors who tutor athletics are like have specific subjects, or maybe they have to know all of it. Mm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Honestly, like, I think just going to the mentoring summit and like Will and Andrew said, like meeting people, like I honestly don't really know a lot of tutors outside of the writing center, like for other departments. Like I know that QRC exists, and I know that like specific like bio and math tutors and stuff like that exist, but I've never gone to them. And I didn't even know there were like athletic tutors, like specifically for athletes. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I actually have been to the QRC before.
Have
because
you?
When I was a freshman, I was, again, so frighteningly bad at math and took two math courses.
Big mood.
That are designed for non-math people, and I still couldn't do it. So I have gone to QRC before.
Is it that one where you just use Excel a lot?
No, it was the second.
I took that
so
one.
The problem was, it was the second part. It was LSP 121, where you have to use, like, all kinds of, like, other programs that are not Excel. Will knows
Will
what
knows.
I mean.
Yeah.
That like I can't think of their names, but
use like statistical modeling software.
Yeah, and, yeah, like yeah. statistic models, and you had to do these formulas and things. And I would walk in and be like, "Dude, I have no idea."
Yeah. Well, that brings us to like kind of a good segue. Like, how are we using tutoring in different ways? Which is what your goal is to learn at the summit, obviously. So let's just talk about in our own, like, senses. Will, do you want to talk a little bit about how you tutor in QRC?
So cool. Each QRC tutor has a little bit of a different style. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, everyone is universal style.
Yeah. What we tend to do is, you know, we have open hours. People can come in and they just sit down and do their homework. And if they have questions, they can ask us. And so, you know, the way I like to approach it is I try to explain something one way. If they're not getting it, sit down and kind of show a different way, maybe guide them through an example problem or pull up like old problems from homework that I know isn't used anymore. And try to, you know, so then you can, because I know I learn best doing something and seeing it done as opposed to just mm-hmm. like reading it off a board. Mm-hmm. But
someone's, I know, like, this is how you do it. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. You think of it and you go, okay, that makes sense. And then you go to do it and it doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense. And it's like Japanese or something, I don't know. But I know there are other tutors that I work with who like to use the whiteboard a lot, or they like to
a Good Will Hunting moment.
Yeah. Mm. they they all have, we all have different experiences, right? And it comes back to, it's kind of supposed to be a math course for just give you the essentials you need to survive in a math-based world.
Yeah.
So there's a wide variety of people that come in, and there's a wide variety of techniques we need to use for them.
That's great. I think that relates to kind of what we do at the Writing Center. Andrew, if you want to talk a little bit about your tutoring process, or like what you like to do with writers, depending.
Yeah, also I love the Goodwill Hunting reference. That's pretty clever.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think about blackboards and whiteboards, and I'm just like, math, Goodwill Hunting.
So I think, like, you know, we have like five different types of appointments at the Writing Center, and I think, you know, to start off with, like, face-to-faces where, like, writers can come in and get help with their writing, slash the word face-to-face. And in those appointments, like, I do like to kind of, you know, set up agenda items and to, like, focus on those agenda items, because a lot of times when people come in, you know, first-year writers, EAL students, you know, grammar naturally comes up as something they want to work on. And, you know, I kind of keep that in the back of my mind to maybe focus on it, but then as we're going through their paper to help them recognize there's like other elements that they could possibly address in our tutoring session.
Mm-hmm. Getting global.
Yeah.
And what we call that.
Yeah. The other ones we have are like, you know, written feedback. And I think in written feedback appointments, those I'm getting better at, because I know, like, definitely last year as a tutor, I struggled with written feedback because, you know, my mind wanders a lot. So, like, when you look at a paper for an hour, you try to provide marginal comments and then write a summary letter. There's times I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just typing away.
You ever just start reading and then you just keep reading? You're like, oh man, I'm supposed to comment on this, and I forget sometimes, and then I have to go back and recomment, which isn't the worst, I think, because then I go back and I'm like, oh well, double checking and stuff. But That's great. We have a lot of different appointments at the Writing Center, so everyone kind of has their own, and I don't know why this is like this, process. I know that I do. I know that Emily does. Emily, do you want to talk about yours?
Not so much my personal tutoring process, but something that I know we all kind of address is what, like, are universally just good tutoring practices, because everyone does have their own kind of style and own kind of tutoring methods. But something that I notice about specifically tutors, and even more specifically the tutors I've met at DePaul, something that seems to be really emphasized by everyone in their practices is that, like, building of rapport with the students. Because I know that I definitely have friends who have told me that going to, like, the Writing Center or the equivalent of the QRC at their school is, like, terrifying, and it's never fun, and it's, like, a mess. But I feel like when the way we all kind of tutor, it's on that kind of peer level. That, like, peer part is really emphasized, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. My whole philosophy for, we have to make portfolios every year for tutoring experience. And my whole philosophy in my portfolio is how it's so important that the word peer comes before tutor. Because first, like, it's already scary to ask for help. Mm-hmm. For anything, like, to come and be like, I'm not great at this, and I need, like, some guidance. That's scary enough. To meet with someone who, like, you don't click with, or like isn't interested, I guess, adds to that fear. And so, yeah, I think rapport is, like, huge in tutoring. Will, do you have something to say?
Yeah, especially when I first started tutoring, I was a sophomore, and
I was too.
We had a lot of people who were juniors and seniors, or even, you know, adult learners coming back and trying to finish their degrees. And so they still have to take these classes. And they come in and see this punk little kid, like,
I have the
exact
same issue.
I totally know what you mean.
And that makes it so much worse to try to, like, kind of bridge that gap, because they're, like, already in their heads of, like, oh man, I don't know what's going on. And this little kid, he knows what he's doing. And I just, and then, you know, it gets in your head, because you feel like you don't know what's going on, and you're never going to.
That's happened to me quite a few times, where I've worked with graduate students on, like, their thesis or something, and they're like, we're having a good appointment. Like, we're having a great, like, they're, like, learning, and, like, we're getting stuff done. And they're like, oh, I'm like, what are you, how long have you been in the graduate program? And I'm like, actually, I'm an undergraduate senior. or, like, previously when I started, I'm a sophomore, mm-hmm. and they just, it changes at that moment where it's like,
yeah,
are you? Well, and so building rapport, but especially between ages and grades and like different people, I think is super important to build like trust. Mm-hmm. Trust, Kristen.
Yeah, not to wander too much off topic or ramble, but I've had a writer who just didn't want to build rapport necessarily when they learned I was an undergrad, and just like blatantly undermined me based on my status in school. But the appointment went really well, and then they actually took it back. They were like, oh, sorry, I said I wanted like a grad student instead. Like, that was really good. Great job. And I was like, thank you. Yeah, a little awkward, but I mean, because they were just like, actually, I was hoping like a grad student could look at this. And I was like, well, you got me. I'll do my best. I think it'll be okay. And then, it was okay. Emily,
I love that. I think that, again, that just shows that like these people's minds can be changed, and anyone's mind can be changed, as long as you just like give that, give everyone that chance mm-hmm. to build rapport.
Rapport
kind
helps.
Of in the same field, I want to give a shout out to some of the partners on organizations that are helping to put together the Peer Tutor Mentor Summit, because this whole thing is happening because all of these groups are collaborating and offering their own expertises. So the groups that we have are the Office of Athletic Academic Advising, the DePaul University Library, the Office for Teaching, Learning, and Assessment, the Quantitative Reasoning Center, shout out, hey. Will, there woo. You go, Supplemental Instruction, Study Abroad, and also the Aquaball. So all these groups working together is what's going to create this big event.
Mm. Supplemental Instruction, you are amazing. Thank you so much.
Specifically in Study Abroad, shout out to Alma Sandoval.
Oh, yes. Yes, she was my personal Study Abroad advisor when I went to Sheffield for a year, and she was amazing, helped me out, and I got everything done that I needed to get done. So if you need help, want to go abroad, ask Alma.
Ask Alma.
Ask her. She's great.
Yeah. So one last thing before we take our song break, I wanted to talk about is, do you have a personal mentoring role model? Is there anyone who at your center you kind of like, man, they tutor really well? And what do you think that person has in their like tutoring process that you're like, that's good tutoring right there? Yeah. Yeah. Andrew, do you have anyone? Best person at, not best, because that's evaluative and we don't use evaluative language, but for me, like at the Writing Center, someone I really look up to is I think Jen Finstrom. She doesn't tutor a whole lot now because she mostly handles the outreach and stuff, outreach coordination, but she is so kind and patient, and I think patience is something that all tutoring needs and something that I can work on.
I can just tell she loves it as well, which is like a huge part of it. I'm like, man, there's no way she's not great in appointments because she's just so enthusiastic and well read and present. Exactly. We love Jen.
Jen Fenster, friend of the show.
Yeah, Jen.
Andrew, did you think of anyone?
Yeah, so like I think I learned from everybody at the Aquabowl because like, for sure, because like, for me, like, you know, there's times when it comes to like, you know, we used to like set the agenda. I see people, they do such a great job with the new tutors. Like, I haven't seen them like, you know, really engage with the tutors. And I know sometimes for me, like I'm not, you know, I try to smile, I try to be friendly, but there's definitely times where like, I don't always do the best job opening up the appointment, and I'm always learning from people who do it. And especially comes to like written feedbacks, I think like it's always cool to see like everyone's like written feedbacks on WC Online.
Yeah, they're so personal, I think, because like I always have the same kind of structure in the beginning of mine, and it's always like, thanks for coming in, thanks for giving me your work. This is something I learned and liked from your work, to kind of bridge that like, oh my gosh, I enjoyed doing this. Now let's talk about revision. Mm-hmm. Getting a little soft before we gotta hit the books. Will, do you have anyone in your department that you look up to or has really good tutoring practice?
Yeah, so one of our tutors, I'm going to put him on the spot here.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout out to Simon.
I know Simon.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
Simon is the best.
That was loud. I'm sorry. I just got really excited about Simon.
Simon, you know, was one of those students that didn't, math doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
But he worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And still works really hard, and he has mastered this material. Like,
damn it.
Just knows what he's doing, knows his stuff, and he's so patient with people when they come in. And that is what I strive to do when I meet with people, is just, you know,
be patient.
Know what you're doing, and make sure that the people coming in also know what they're doing when they leave.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, we love that. So I think we're going to take our second song break. This is another, I think, slow jam about love, kind of. This is I Wish You Love by Joe Bataan? Say that right? Yeah. I Wish You Love Part 2 by Joe Bataan. Enjoy.
I'm
And we're back. That was really great. That wasn't slow at all. I'm sorry I gave anyone like a false sense of security. You know, like you're like, oh yeah, slow jams, and then it was like, bah! So I'm so sorry. That was really great. So it's What You're Eating. Everyone loves it. We're out here for What You're Eating. I'll start. I'm still reading A Little Life, and I'm not even reading it. I'm listening to it on audiobook, which is it's really good. I'll reiterate that. Again, Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. She's really great. I'm getting like further into it, and all these like layers are peeling back, and I just think it's a really great like representation of like queer friendship. Like adult queer friendship.
Very nice.
Which is wild. And like it's just so emotional, and like I keep listening to it like in public on accident and like at work, like at my internship, and I'll just be like sitting in my cubicle like low-key crying, and people are like, oh my god, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, it's just allergies. It's not, it's A Little Life. It's destroying me. Emily, are you reading something?
I actually have been. I was just telling the lovely group, I haven't really had a lot of chances to like read books for fun recently, because I do a lot of reading for my classes, but recently I've noticed on like my trips on the L, like anywhere I go, I always keep going on Ranker and reading the like scary lists of things.
What are the
lists?
So
it'll
like?
Say like 10 scariest murders you'll ever hear about, or like 8 places in the United States where people go missing.
Oh, I and love
like,
that.
You know, so they're like really weirdly specific, but I always think they're so interesting, and it's such like an amalgamation of like weird anecdotes. But they keep me entertained, and they make my ride on the sweaty, terrible train go much faster.
I love that. Yeah.
So that's what I'm reading.
That's so great. Who else is reading? Chris, and you reading?
I'm reading some things. I'm working through Alice in Wonderland still, and recently I've been reading more about oxygen delivery in the lungs. Ooh. And hemoglobin.
Ooh. All right. Hemoglobin.
My boy. Yeah, a little both. We got into it in class, and then there's just some really interesting cool ideas. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm, nice. I'm reading, well, okay, so last year I started reading the Iliad.
Oh, yes. Nice.
And I got to a chapter that was...
And you're still reading the Iliad.
Yeah.
Well, I stopped for a while because...
Okay, because it's the Iliad.
I got to a chapter that was 10 pages of people's names and where they were from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
Sounds like it.
Homer will do that.
Yeah.
Homer will throw that in there.
Wasn't feeling it at the time.
No.
But I'm...
You're back in it.
Trying it again.
Victor, how do you feel about it?
It's good, aside from just the 10 pages of names.
Of names, yeah, it's a lot.
Because you're never going to remember them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Victor Hugo does that too a lot in his books, where he'll be like telling the story.
Yeah.
And he'll mention like a war and be like, oh, this is the entire history of this war, by the way. Now back to these people. Like,
yeah. And at the time when they're done telling the history of the war, you don't even remember what was
going on. You don't even remember what was going on. Absolutely.
I need like one of those like episode like, recaps.
The main character?
Okay. Like new season recaps that you get on Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need that. When I read Les Mis in high school, and it was a lot of like, oh gosh, like Fantine's so upset. Did you know about the French Revolution? Let's talk about it.
They'll be the bread, and then be like, this is how they grew and made bread.
Well,
we need like a previously on the Odyssey.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just comes back and it tells you, okay, so
here's
amazing.
That's where we are.
So and so went through this magic tunnel, and now they're in the magic land.
The whatever.
Greece.
Just spark note it.
Just
previously on Sparknotes.
We don't support Sparknotes.
Sparknotes get long.
If you're reading a book and you're like, man, I can't really remember what happened last night. I was super tired, falling asleep, but I want to get back into this part I left off on. You Sparknote the chapter before and you get on with it. But like, you read it, you know, you just like need a little recap.
Edit. I don't support Sparknotes for cheating.
Yes.
PSA. Andrew.
No, I will agree with like the whole like, you know, Sparknotes isn't cheating. I will say though, like when you're reading a book, like I'm reading this book for my grad class right now.
What is it?
It is about like second language assessments. It was for like a first project, and it's a complicated book. It's 150 pages, just like boring
it's
language.
Too much.
And like I went online, went to a journal, I found a book review of it, and by reading the book review, it saved my butt because like it broke it down chapter by chapter, and then like everything it said in the book review, I used it to inform my choices when I was actually reading the book. So like I do think there's like a fine line between it's cheating and not cheating, but I do think like those sources, there's also a good thing about them, especially if you're reading complicated texts and
some recaps.
Yeah, some recaps I think are some good.
We love that. Okay, well, I think that's it. That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us. If you've been listening, this is Scrawl Radio on DePaul Radio, Chicago's College Connection. It's always a tongue twister. It's hard.
It is.
Thanks for listening to Scrawl. We'll be back same time next week, 11 a.m. here on DePaul Radio. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Bye-bye.
Bye. To my soul, the shivers going straight.